Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Can the dead warn us of our current situations in the living realm? Give us hints, give us advice, give us warnings, or just push us in the general direction that a friend or a loved one would when maybe we cannot see or fail to heed the warnings that we are dealing with. In our next story, we hear about a family man who very much did love his family but was abused by it. Eventually, he passed away under questionable circumstances. But his spirit seemed to live on to warn what would have been an in-law family member of the dangers of his own son. Take a listen. I've been listening to your podcast for over a year. I wanted so badly to give my submission earlier, but it's only now that I can sit and write this with clarity, as the paranormal activity I'm about to describe occurred during a very difficult time in my life. Thinking back on it is somewhat painful for me and can be a bit of a trigger. I'm from Arizona, born and raised. Around 2002, I was in my mid-20s at the time. I met a man there named Curtis. We became engaged, and shortly thereafter, he wanted to return to his family in the native state of Ohio. Thus, before marrying Curtis, I packed up and moved from Arizona to Ohio to be with him. Shortly after my arrival, Curtis and I were married in Ohio and set up a homestead there together. My new husband was an executive and often traveled for business. Time was of the essence to get things in order, and I had worked as a legal secretary and had planned to begin applying at law firms in the area. We purchased a home right away in a beautiful Ohio neighborhood with large forested lots adjacent to woods, a lake, hiking, running trail. Choosing the house was easy. It belonged to my husband's mother, Gwen. It was not an old home. In fact, it was built in the early 90s by Gwen's second husband, an architect and builder who suddenly passed away after a tragic but fluke bicycling accident. Gwen had been living in the house, albeit largely unfinished in certain parts. See, Jeff was killed during building of the house, so there were parts that were unfinished. The house was extremely modernistic, not particularly my style, but I realized it was a family affair to have it sold so that Gwen, who had never remarried, could downsize to a new condo she had been eyeing. I sacrificed my desires for a traditional or historic home and settled into the new modern home with Curtis. We intended to finish it, and I added some color to warm up the otherwise cold house, wherein all fixtures and walls were either black or white. Upon settling in the home, things began to change with Curtis's behavior towards me. I don't think this had anything to do with the home. I came to realize later that I just had married an extremely abusive man who had some very apparent personality disorders. Nonetheless, it had not even been a year into our marriage, and Curtis was becoming increasingly abusive towards me. He was cruel in his words, controlling, evasive, neglectful, disrespectful, and at times deliberately hurtful out of the blue. He'd often kick me in the back or elbow me in my kidneys as I slept. He'd spit at me, throw tantrums, pour liquids or cleansers on me in a fit of rage or disrespect, kick my cats and berate me. He despised my having friends and criticized me for speaking to my family back in Arizona. I recognize now this was because he did not want his good boy image tarnished to others. Conversely, the outer appearance of our marriage could be considered envious. Beautiful home, involved couple, vacations, attractive social activities. It was all a facade. My marriage was new, and it felt like I had lived a lifetime in hell. The more isolated and distressed I'd become, the worse Curtis would act towards me. It was then I started to notice a change in our house. At this point, I had been in the marriage for nearly 3 years. I was isolated and spent my days concentrating on work or law school studies or domestic duties. The psychological head games from Curtis had not ceased, despite his promises to be better. Things would be okay for a month or two, and then the pattern of abuse always presented itself again. I'd begun to suffer from anxiety as a result of this and had severe stomach issues that would not quit. I often felt ill and was home alone frequently. As Curtis traveled, I had few visitors, or I just did not feel well enough to go out with him to social functions. It was in this loneliness that I began feeling as though the house was either responding to my energy or providing me with subtle hints to get out. There were happenings I could not explain. Doors would often open for no apparent reason. As I tried to sleep at night, I could hear pounding or hammering in the attic directly above my bed. I'd hear footsteps pace the floor above me. The electric in the house seemed to have a mind of its own. I would often be woken from a sleep to hear people conversating on the television in the living room, even though I had turned the television off before going to bed. Televisions would come on and go off, lights would come on and go off, doors continued to open, even locked doors. One day my gas stove was lit suddenly. On another day, multiple birds would fly to their death directly into our 22-foot floor-ceiling windows. Some days, my car and house keys, which would customarily hang neatly on the key rack in the kitchen cupboard, could be found lying neatly on the rug center in front of our front door entrance, as if to say, "Here, now leave." Things would happen that I could not explain. The energy grew darker. I grew more isolated. Attempts to pack up and leave were thwarted by Curtis either hiding my car keys, ridding me of my wallet, cutting off or taking any of my financial resources, or on one occasion sticking the water hose in my luggage, saturating any clothes I had packed in the trunk of my car. I felt there was no one to talk to. If so, no one would believe me. Sadly, I did not care if I was not believed about the strange happenings in the house. I was more concerned at the fact that I knew no one would believe that Curtis was abusing me. Star athlete, Hall of Famer, family man, go-getter Curtis. He was too perfect to be abusive. It was around my 5th or 6th year of marriage that I had become desperate to leave and had started saving money unbeknownst to Curtis. I knew it would take years before I could take the leap to leave with any sort of financial security. I was now pregnant and could not imagine raising a child around the Jekyll and Hyde personality. My pregnancy was uneventful. I gained little weight because I was often sick. I, too, was often alone. On one occasion, while I was alone and stood on the first floor of my home, something on the second floor loft caught my eye. It had quickly moved. It appeared to be the face and head of a small child peeking around the corner of a room on the second floor that I'd been decorating to become the nursery. The head appeared to be low towards the floor as if a child had crawled to peek around the corner at me. As quickly as I saw it, it was gone. I froze in fear. I knew what I had seen. I spent nights sleeping with my door closed, the lights on, and the television going just to block out the noise of any footsteps, hammering, and the odd things that had been happening. I tried to explain these things to Curtis when he returned home from business. He laughed, stating it was probably the cats or an animal. Maybe he was right. He had heard similar noises when he was home, and it did not seem to bother him. The nursery was coming in order. My mother-in-law, Gwen, still had several things to come and collect from the attic from when she lived at the house. One day, Gwen came over and asked to work in the attic to retrieve some of her things. She'd spent the day taking down boxes. At the end of the day, when she left, I noticed a large box at the bottom of the driveway where the trash can is left for pickup. Curious, I went to see what the large box contained and if there was anything in it I might be interested in keeping. Gwen tended to throw out nice things. I, having grown up at the poverty level, making it a habit to upcycling anything I possibly could. And as I skimmed through the box, I realized most of the contents were paper. Mostly drawings made by a small child of elementary age. A kindergarten graduation certificate and graduation cap. Elementary school class photos from the 60s. Report cards. A Catholic confirmation certificate. And other keepsakes that a mother would typically keep from events or art generated by a small child. I looked through the contents for a name. I recognized Jeffrey Markham. The report cards, the school photos, everything, it all belonged to Gwen's late second husband, Jeffrey. I was appalled at discovering this and to learn that someone she claimed to have adored so much, she could have so easily discarded such precious memories of his past. I knew that Jeffrey still had living brothers and sisters, and I knew some of their names discovered through stories or run-ins. So perhaps, against my better judgment, I began searching for them on social media sites and local records. I was able to discern that Jeffrey had a sister named Marie that lived nearby. I was able to locate her on social media, and from there wrote a Facebook message explaining who I was and that I had some items of her brother's. She may be interested in having, as I pressed send. I questioned whether I was doing the right thing. Then I waited for a response. I waited for a day. Days turned into weeks, then months. I had a small infant now. She was perfect. Her name is Sophie, the sweetest baby. And swiftly, she became my world and my one and only truest love. I cannot say that at this time, things with Curtis were better, simply different. The abuse shifted from the cursing at me, kicking me, or spitting on me to more subtle and psychological jabs. Like on one occasion, he claimed we were in financial trouble and that we were needing to file bankruptcy or we were losing the house. After I became sad over learning this, he just chuckled and said, "Take a joke. I'm only kidding." This kind of bizarre behavior escalated over the years with Curtis. On a Monday, he might claim we were losing our house or he had cancer or he heard I had an affair. He would escalate the drama of these misfortunes all week. Then by Friday, he was laughing and saying it was all a joke and continued to berate me for becoming so upset. I had married a psychopath or a sociopath. I felt I knew this, having had a degree in criminology. The house had changed. I did not feel it was against me any longer, but instead it was a part of me or with me or on my side, if that makes any sense. I still heard pounding and hammering and the doors continuously opened as if seemingly inviting me to leave, but it was a kindred energy. It was not unusual to catch my baby Sophie crawling towards or sitting up and laughing at the rocking chair in her nursery. She would clap and giggle as if whatever or whomever sitting there was entertaining her. She would stare and smile at this entity. I saw nothing, but I felt everything. Someone in this house with us, and he or she is on our side. I'd gone back to work. Sophie was with a nanny during the day, and I felt blessed to find the perfect nanny who eventually became one of my only friends in Ohio. She did not have the same experiences in the house like me. She never complained or made mention of it. This led me to believe the incidents were isolated around baby Sophie and me. One day, to my surprise, I was checking my Facebook messages at work and discovered I'd received a message from Marie, Jeff's sister. At this point, I'd nearly forgotten that I reached out to her. Her message was short. She had simply explained that she'd love to have Jeff's items I had found and asked if I'd be open to meeting for coffee someday to pick them up. We scheduled the date, and following week, we met. The meeting date had come. It was quite nerve-wracking, actually. I did not know Marie's thoughts about the whole ordeal. Would she be angry? I knew that Gwen's relationship with Jeff's family had been strained after his death, thus, would Marie treat me badly since I was now part of Gwen's family? I did not know what to expect. I waited at the coffee shop with a box of items in anticipation of the worst. This had become my method of thinking, a habit that has since taken years of therapy to break. Then, there she was, a petite, attractive, well-put-together, middle-aged woman with a sweet smile. "Monica?" "Yes, Marie," I replied. From there, the conversation flowed so naturally. Marie had a kind of energy. Her heart was gentle, I could tell. I went on to tell her about the items. I did not tell her that they were discarded in the trash by Gwen. Instead, I told her that Gwen had moved out and I found them in the attic. I thought someone related to Jeff or Jeff's mother would want them back. Marie went on to tell me that Jeff's mother had passed away. Jeff's death was extremely hard on the family. We exchanged personal life experiences. She remembered meeting Curtis at family functions when he was a child, but that Gwen never wanted a close relationship with Jeff's family. For some reason, I felt comfortable telling her that I did not know if Curtis and I would make it. It had been a very difficult time and a very difficult marriage, and I longed to return home to my native state. From there, Marie opened up tremendously. She went on to tell me things I had suspected all along, things like Jeff and Gwen having not been married that long due to Gwen's controlling and accusatory behavior, Gwen being extremely abusive to Jeff and hitting him and berating him often. About Jeff, a strong, hardworking man, becoming sick often while living with Gwen. How after Jeff decided to divorce Gwen, she had tried to push Jeff down the stairs and arranged for large and sharp objects to fall on him or towards him as he opened the cupboards. How Gwen threw herself down a flight of stairs or slammed her face against something in order to blame Jeff and frame him for abuse. How she forbid him from spending time with his family and threatened him from making any disparaging comments about her. How he tragically died after the handlebars on his bicycle fell off or were presumably loosened and he fell forward on his head and bled to death in the home's driveway. How Gwen refused to have a Catholic service for Jeff. He was Catholic. How she cremated him against the rest of his family's wishes. Marie claimed that Jeff spoke to her just weeks before his death and expressed how happy he was to be getting out of that toxic marriage to Gwen. He had had enough. I knew exactly the feeling. I gave the items to Marie. Her eyes beamed glossy as she looked through them. She thanked me and commented that she had nothing left to remind her of her brother, that Gwen had kept everything. She was so appreciative. She assured me that if I ever needed anything to call her, I smiled and we parted ways. I never told Marie about the ghostly incidents at my house after learning about how much love there was for Jeff and how much Jeff loved planning and working on the house. I feel that the constant hammering and footsteps I would often hear just was Jeff finishing his dream house. I learned he loved children, which explains the sweet exchanges between Sophie and this beautiful spirit in her nursery. A few weeks after our meeting, I had my last and final ghostly encounter in the house. It happened in a flash. I had a baby monitor next to my bed, and I suspect the sounds coming from it woke me suddenly. When I came to and opened my eyes, as clear as the moonlight allowed me, I saw a man-like figure standing directly over me wearing either a hoodie or a cloak. It was dark in the room, and I could only make out the face structure, the brow, the cheekbones, chin, sunken back in the covering. The head was covered. When I opened my eyes, the figure backed off. Then, in a split second, it stretched its neck and chin forward as if he were trying to voice something. The only way I can describe it is when you have a dream and you're trying to scream, but nothing comes out. After the ghostly man's two quick attempts to speak failed, swiftly vanished from my room, and I gasped. After this, I never experienced another strange occurrence in that home. After 11 years of marriage and little options, I packed up my car one morning and left with my daughter. The last 6 years have been a nightmare of court proceedings and an effort to keep my daughter, DV shelters, threats from Curtis and his family, hiding out, damage control, and simply trying to survive the aftermath of a wealthy, narcissistic, sociopathic family who has adamantly tried to make each and every day I breathe misery. I have survived this. I've survived this across the country with no family, friends, or support system, or extraordinarily little resources. Nonetheless, I have survived. Today, I sleep at night. My health is better. The court system has not allowed me much distance from my abuser. I feel traumatized every day in some small way, but I press on. I now live rurally in an old farmhouse built in 1897. No ghosts, no spirits, no bad energy. Nothing there. Simply good energy in my sweet daughter and the occasional thought of my ghostly friend Jeffrey, who I believe tried to warn me for years to get out.
Stories online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like blackjack, wanted, dead or wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman-Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman-Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I like things my way, my coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the Vyvgart Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VyvgartMyWay.com. That's VYVGART MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about Vyvgart Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.